Let's now go to Las Vegas. Todd Furman, sports analyst for Caesar's Palace, and newly a member of the blogosphere. What, you got a blog up?
Hey, you know what? I figure I have to try and impart wisdom on as many people that who actually want to value some of my content. So I do have a blog up launched last Friday. There's plenty of good bowl insights, some take on how wise guys approach betting markets, and overall trying to solicit any content that folks think is relevant to the sports gambling world.
Toddstake.com.
Toddstake.com, pretty easy to find. The only disclaimer to that is anyone who logs onto the site for the first time will have my ugly mug staring right back at him.
Yeah, I need to get some content for you so I can be a contributor. I mean,
well,
you know, your,
we may
your Twitter
have to try and
following
your
is blown
lock for
up.
The week, Mark.
No. 4-1 last week with my lock going down.
So well,
that was the Utah State
to,
Aggies.
Credit to flat betting more than anything else. I mean, if you're going to try and play the percentages, you can pull off 4-1. As long as you don't lose a big one, you'll be on the plus side of the ledger. But like I tell people all the time, you can't judge the merits of a play based on the outcome all the time. I mean, Utah State had that thing covered for the first 59 minutes and 40 seconds. Just unfortunate that they were able to convert a 4th and 6 on the strength of a Norman product in Tyler Tettleton.
Man, I'm happy for the Norman guys, but not happy for my lock. All right, interesting lines in the NFL this week. I want to start there. The Broncos-Bills line. Bills have lost 7 in a row. I mean, Tim Tebow is coming off a loss. I would have figured that number to be higher. Do you like Buffalo in that game?
I actually don't have a strong feel on the game, but I can tell you one thing. We've taken some sharp money on the Buffalo Bills at home. I think we go back to looking at Denver and what they've done. This is a team that's thrived as an underdog, but the only time they've been favored over the last handful of weeks, they went, you know, they didn't cover the number against the Bears, laying 3.5. Buffalo has shown a little bit of fight. I know this team has fought a ton of injuries. Just have to wonder if all this mystique around Tim Tebow and some of the energy they expended last week in New England catches up to them when they play at Rich Stadium. You know, maybe Buffalo's looking to play spoiler over the last 2 games.
Yeah, they're bound to get some breaks the other way. I mean, they've got enough for him this year. All right, the line has also shifted from what I'm looking at on the Cowboys-Eagles game. Is that public money on Philly, or is that sharp money?
We took some sharp money on Philadelphia when we opened the line at 3. I think a lot of that has to do with speculation that Felix Jones' hamstring injury may be worse than the Cowboys' medical staff is letting on right now. I mean, if he can't go, Dallas really has to go deep in the stable of running backs. And if you can't run the football against Philadelphia, you're not going to throw all over this team, and it provides a pretty compelling matchup, especially considering how Philadelphia manhandled Dallas on that Sunday night game earlier in the year.
I would agree with you on that. How about San Francisco and Seattle? That looks like a little bit of a short number there. The 49ers have done a great job this year, got a record of 11-3. Seattle's kind of hot right now, but how do you see that game?
I actually lean pretty heavily towards Seattle right now. Pete Carroll has this team playing the best football of almost anybody, and that includes the members of their division in the Arizona Cardinals, who are just as hot as the Seahawks at this point. The Quest Field provides a tremendous home field advantage. You know, San Francisco enters off a short week, a very emotional win against Pittsburgh, but lost in that 20-3 win is the fact that the Niners do not convert in the red zone. And when you go on the road and you're laying nearly a field goal, you have to turn field goals into touchdowns. I think that's the Achilles heel, which will eventually get them bumped out of the playoffs. And I think it's what could lead to a Seattle outright upset on Sunday afternoon.
All right, very good point. I would concur with that. How about some bowl games coming up this week? Tonight's a little bit of a snoozer for me. I think that probably line is inflated a little bit to me, but I wouldn't take Arizona State with your money.
I mean, again, Mark, we've talked about it before. Motivation is so key for some of these second-tier bowl games. And this is an Arizona State team who showed flashes of brilliance throughout the year, you know, manhandling USC at home, nearly going up to Autzen Stadium and upsetting Oregon before they essentially mailed in the final 4 games of the regular season. You know, a lot of questions swirling about Arizona State's whereabouts throughout Las Vegas. But this is the first time we've seen Boise State really speak out against not going to a BCS bowl. And this scenario reminds me quite a bit of how the Broncos performed in Hawaii when they lost outright as double-digit dogs, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
All right, very good. What other games in the next because we won't talk again until next week. There'll be quite a few games. Has there been any big moves on some of the games this weekend and next week?
Nothing major right now. I think some of the professionals are trying to lay low and set up their positions. What we have seen this morning, and it's been a little bit curious, we've seen quite a bit of steam come in on Southern Miss, taking that number from 6.5 all the way up to 8. I'm not sure what Southern Miss has to accomplish in this bowl game, you know, having lost their coach in Larry Eustachy, and they beat Houston in their Conference USA championship game. Would beating Reno really make this season more or less successful? I just don't see it. But outside of that, you know, most of the numbers are holding pretty steady. We have started to see a little bit of sharp money come in on the West Virginia Mountaineers for 2 or 3 weeks out from now against Clemson. I think a lot of that is based on the fact that Clemson looked like they could be left for dead up until they rebounded with a resounding win in the ACC title game over Virginia Tech.
Iowa's running back ruled out of the Insight Bowl. Has that done anything to the number?
Number actually ticked from 13.5 up to 14 right now. Seeing a couple of well-respected shops around town sitting at 14.5. If Kirk Ferentz's track record is any indication, losing Marcus Coker won't change the outcome of this game too much. I think there's still plenty of value in Iowa, and I know we've talked at great lengths that Oklahoma's motivation has to be questioned, and knowing all the player defections that we've seen over the last week to 10 days, still a tough spot for OU.
All right, let's go to basketball. 6,000 games today. any that you like particularly well? And by the way, I did tout myself earlier today. I told the people of the listening audience that I had texted you some winners here lately.
You have been on fire for all that negative influence you've been to the betting marketplace with your football locks. I will admit to the faithful Sports Animal listenership that Mark's college basketball has been much better. The marquee game tonight, I believe, Memphis-Georgetown. I think Memphis has a way of trying to battle against teams that, you know, may play a little more to the vest in terms of overall style. I mean, these two teams met in Hawaii in a game that was 91-88 in double overtime. You have to love the same in-season revenge angle for the Tigers, who all of a sudden at 6-4 need a marquee non-conference win if they're going to bolster this resume before they go into conference play. Beyond that, most of them second-tier schools we're looking at. I think there's a little bit of value in Illinois against Missouri. I know the Tigers sitting at 11-0, despite having played a soft schedule. Just the matchup's not all that favorable for Illinois, so I'd shy away from that game. And then the game I actually had circled as the most intriguing of the day. Loses a little bit of luster, given some of the suspensions in Long Beach State against Xavier that'll take place on the island. I know all of the Oklahoma faithful will look forward to listening to Mr. Gottlieb call that game on ESPNU.
Well, the Oral Roberts, the Sutton fellas just took it out on Xavier and Cincy on Sunday.
Thought Oral could be competitive. Didn't think they'd win that game by 20. Interesting spot for ORU tonight, too. I think they could come out a little bit flat and may make Texas Tech a live dog, catching 12.5 to 13 right about now.
Very good. Are the Thunder the favorite in the West yet? I mean, you got to have moved the Lakers up a little bit, I would think.
The Thunder are indeed the favorite in the West right now, and they're, you know, amongst the NBA elite, only behind the Heat right now to win the pro basketball championship. We have the Thunder listed at 9-5 to win the West and 7-5 to win the overall title. I think the Clippers have seen the most movement, and we've adjusted the Lakers down. I think even with a healthy Kobe Bryant, the Lakers may not be better than a 5 or 6 seed in the strike-shortened season.
All right, very good. What will the Thunder magic line be on Sunday, you think?
The Thunder magic line right now, we're looking at about a 7.5 for that game. That's right about where my numbers have it. One of the games that's moved quite a bit is the Miami-Dallas game. You know, I've seen a number of offshore shops open that as low as a pick'em. Miami now sitting around a 4 to 4.5 point favorite at this point. I think the real interesting game that we're waiting on is what we'll do with the Bulls-Lakers line. Assuming Kobe was going to go, the Lakers would be a 3-point favorite in that game. If he can't go or is, you know, extremely limited, I think you'll see the Bulls at about a 1.5 or 2-point favorite. Rare to see the Lakers as a home dog to anyone, let alone on Christmas Day.
All right, celebrity sightings in the book. Let me have them.
No celebrity sightings. It's definitely a slow time of year for us out here right around the holidays. I know room rates are dirt cheap, so folks who never have a chance to get out to Vegas and take part in some of the festivities, you know, they come out hand over fist. I believe we do have a big Chinese concert, though, over the Christmas holiday. Just not sure I'll be able to pronounce the artist's name without butchering it and showing my true cultural identity.
What kind of music is Chinese music? I mean, is it like techno or what? I mean, I would assume that they've got various kinds of music in China.
They describe it like Chinese pop. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I've never attended one of our holiday concerts myself, but I'm sure, you know, things work out well here. You know, we can talk to the folks at Lucky Star and see if we can ship some of our acts out there to Central Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'd be in the running for that. Toddstake.com. Todd Furman, right, on Twitter, correct?
Todd Furman on Twitter, and we're anxiously awaiting on the blog, you know, the Mark Rogers debut post talking about some of the fine aspects of sports handicapping and what you've picked up over the years.
I'll be writing under a pseudonym, I think, for sure. I'm going to come up with my code name. All right, thanks, Todd. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Have a great holiday weekend, and the same for all the Sports Animal listenership.
All right, same to you. Todd Furman, sports analyst at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. We'll take a break. We'll fit a few phone calls in. Pass the baton off to the ultimate, Jim Traber, coming up today at 2. You are listening to the Middle of the Day Show on the Sports Animal.